The gospel today has a special resonance for me, which probably doesn't quite click for most people here, but for those of my kind, John Pitts today, it might just ring bells. The gospel today is from St. John. The lesson that was read to us about the coming of the Holy Spirit with tongues of fire and mighty winds and the apostles preaching and people, pilgrims in Jerusalem from all the parts of the earth then, hearing them in their own languages, that wonderful litany of obscure places that have to be named off reading that. That's St. Luke's work. St. Luke gives us the reason why we have our feast day today. He's very tidy. St. Luke is a historian. In both of his books, his Gospel of Acts, he starts off explaining, I have inquired diligently and I have set out an order. He likes timelines. And St. Luke gives us the very clean and tidy timeline of Holy Week and the cross, Easter. And exactly 40 days after Easter, a nice round Old Testament biblical 40 days, the ascension of the Lord, and another 9 days spent in expectation and waiting, the gift of the Spirit. Easter, 40 days, 9 more, the 50th day of Easter, today, the coming of the Spirit with wind and fire and tongues and the ability to preach the gospel with power. Pentecost, the 50th day, and that we'll keep all day long here in different services in different ways. Now, St. John is much less calendar bound. He is much less tidy and orderly. And theologically, I think maybe he has a real point in that the climax of Christ's life, his cross and resurrection and glorification, for him are kind of one big huge thing. They're all sides and facets of the reality of Christ walking with us on this earth, being revealed to us as God's revelation of himself for us. And so, in St. John, there is just the first day of the week after Easter. And the gospel we heard today, Christ is among them. Christ is risen. He shows to them his hands and his side. He is risen, but the marks of his passion, his cross, his love are always with him. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. This is the first word to them spoken in glory. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so now I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, this little text, for me, has a very special resonance because it is literally enacted. If you were ordained a while back in the old religion, before the present version of liturgy, 44 years, less a couple of weeks, I was ordained by, we now have, I think, the 9th Bishop of Texas at work across the street. Then it was the 5th Bishop of Texas. And I can remember his hands coming down upon my head and the imposition of his hands and in his grand, elegant Georgian accent, which sounded a little like God if God had been a character in Gone with the Wind. He laid his hands on and said in the liturgy, receive the Holy Ghost for the office and work of a priest in the Church of God, committed unto thee by the imposition of our hands. Bishop spoke in the plural then, no nonsense. Those who sin thou dost forgive, they are forgiven. Boom. Receive the Holy Ghost for the office and work of priest. Those who sins thou dost forgive. No nonsense indeed. But it makes a real point that both Luke and John and the whole early church are telling us that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, which we confess in the faith, and every time we end our prayers talking about the Holy Spirit, what we're saying is that the Christ who was limited by his presence in the flesh, incarnate with us, walking and talking among us, is now in glory, but he has not ceased to work. And his work is being carried out by his presence with us in this mystery called the Holy Spirit. Now, it is all the difference in the world between Christianity and all other religions. Because everybody else, Revelation is closed. Quran, it's a done deal. The Law of Moses, it's a done deal. There is no more revelation to be had. But the work of Christ goes on. St. Luke makes the point vividly. He writes one book, the Gospel of Luke, according to Luke. And then he immediately takes it up. They really should be bound together in the New Testament with the Acts of the Apostles. He takes it right up with the Ascension and marches on. And the central character there, yes, there's Peter and Paul and John at work. But the unifying theme is God the Holy Spirit at work, bringing the gospel to other people in other places, in other generations, on down. And he doesn't really end Acts. He just sorts of cuts it off. St. Paul is at work teaching in Rome. End of story. The story goes forward. The Holy Spirit still works. And that's what we really celebrate today, is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I got to be part of a visible enactment of the giving of that gift. The laying on of the hands, boom, the day I was ordained. The continuity that's coming from the very first through that bishop back to all those who were before him, back to the very beginning. But so have you. Each of you is baptized. Each of you probably is confirmed with the bishop's hands laid on you. Each of you was sealed by the Spirit in baptism. The gift of the Spirit is given to each and every Christian. Some of them, it flourishes in dramatic ways. Some of them, it flourishes in quiet ways. But the work of the Spirit is always, one, to carry Christ's work forward in the world. Things can get in the way of that. People can refuse to hear. They did in the beginning, many, in the time of the gospel itself. But the work goes forward. And Christ's work is always to bring the kingdom of God, which is about forgiveness, which is about faithfulness and following, and about looking into the new possibilities lying ahead of us that God is leading us into. And the work of the Holy Spirit, of course, with the great community of the church down the ages, is also going on within each one of us, within you, within each of you. And the work of Christ is just the same. The gospel, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of love, the gift of his presence with you, his ability to heal and to raise up. And that you share in that work, bringing it forward. And just like the world can sometimes listen, us Christians, we can sometimes not listen carefully. We are the only barrier between the work of the Holy Spirit and the triumph of the kingdom of Christ. It's what goes on inside of us when we don't listen much. Our mission is people, followers of Christ, and those with whom the Spirit dwells to do the work of Christ wherever we are, is one, not to get in the way, to put ourselves in the frame of mind, in the frame of heart, in the frame of spirit, of listening to the Spirit and being aware of God with us and being aware of the mind of Christ being formed inside each one of us, the Spirit's work, and not to block it by our inattentiveness, sometimes by our hard-heartedness, by our willfulness. Those are the barriers to the work of the Spirit. And secondly, our work, working with the Spirit, is to do what Christ does wherever we are, to walk forward, letting the Spirit work through us to build up God's kingdom in the world, to bring the gifts of the Spirit. Remember the old days of catechism, the fruit of the Holy Spirit are love, joy, peace, and so on. To bring the fruit of the Spirit wherever we are, in family, in the communities we build around us, even in our work, which sometimes is the greatest challenge of all. And that is why the Pentecost happened and happens in each and every one of you. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.